Good morning. This is Tommy Ray, and we are in episode 70 of Water Rights, Laws, Guns, and Money. Today is March 15, 2023. That's the Ides of March. I never pay too much attention to things that don't affect me directly, so I never really understood the Ides of March. For those listeners like me who must have skipped class that day, two things. One, in the ancient Roman calendar, the Ides were the times that the full moon fell on the 15th of the month, and that happens in March, May, July, and October. I didn't know that there are Ides of months other than March. Two, beware the Ides of March became a popular saying after William Shakespeare wrote his tragedy. In the tragedy, and supposedly also in real life, Caesar was warned by a soothsayer to beware the Ides of March. Of course, we all know that Julius Caesar was stabbed by members of the Roman Senate on the Ides of March. In the water world in Colorado, I think we are rapidly approaching a bad omen associated with the Ides of March. We need to do something. As I've told you before, I do not work for anyone, and so I am free to not only have my own thoughts, but to say them out loud. And I have decided to do just that. I am not the sharpest marble in the bag, but I am beginning to share my ideas with those that might be able to do something. So far, I have talked to three of our state's representatives and one of our senators. Actually, I only got to talk to a staffer with two of the representatives, but at least that's something. I get no benefit out of any of these suggestions. Water is critically important, and I want our state to remain as vibrant and beautiful as it is. I am searching for solutions. The legislature doesn't seem to be doing much other than hiring more lawyers to fight over existing regulations and compacts. We must be bolder than that. Here are five things I think we should do. Number one, stop discouraging buy and dry. Many farmers want to sell for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that their water values have skyrocketed, and maybe their children don't want to farm. Those that decide to sell should not be shamed by their neighbors, their local communities, or politicians. But there seems to be a narrative from the governor on down that we must protect our ag industry. I keep asking, why? Sure, it would be nice to have enough water to satisfy all. According to the state water plan, 90% of our water is used in agriculture. I have asked you to think about that before. If, over the next 50 to 100 years, we acquire 10% of the farmers' water, they still have 80%. We will have doubled our cities/industries supplies. That makes all the sense in the world to me. It is still the free market system. Farmers don't have to sell. Water rights are their private property. They should be considered good citizens of our state if they sell. And of course, they would be paid handsomely. Many would be set up for the rest of their lives and probably their children's lives. I don't know everything. In fact, I know very little. But I have read that ag only accounts for about 10% of the wealth of our state. I want listeners out there to research this statistic for me. How important really is ag to our state? I also remember reading a CSU study that said for every job lost in agriculture, because the water is moved to cities, 67 jobs are created in our cities. I have looked for that article, but can't find it. You know how you read some things, and they are so ridiculous that the numbers just stick in your memory. This is one of those things for me. So listeners, do us both a favor. Research these two things. How much does ag contribute to the economy of our state? And how many jobs are created by moving water to a higher use? And then send your comments to me at tommy@knowwater.com, know-water.com. I can either give you credit or you can remain anonymous. What are the other four things I think we should be doing? Number two, do away with House Bill 1041. This allows counties to hold hostage legitimate water projects just to benefit the governing community. This is a travesty that should be changed. House Bill 74-1041 was passed in 1974 as a companion or follow-up law to the Colorado Land Use Act, which was enacted in 1970. The Land Use Act's legislative declaration read, quote, "The rapid growth and development of the state and the resulting demands on its land resources make new and innovative measures necessary to encourage planned and orderly land use development." The Land Use Act created a statewide system of land use with the intent to develop, quote, a state land use map, end quote, a project that was to be coordinated and overseen by the Land Use Commission. So things rocked on for 4 years. Then in 1974, House Bill 74-1041 was introduced in the Colorado legislature to address issues surrounding land use planning in Colorado. The intent of 1041 was to protect the environment and lifestyle of the state. Quote, "The clear objective of House Bill 1041 is to assure that environmental impacts of new development are considered and mitigated. The intent of 1041 is distinctly environmental," end quote. As enacted, it became the Areas and Activities of State Interest Act. As part of the Land Use Act, Areas and Activities of State Interest Act granted, quote, "broadened authority and a permit-type procedure to local governments, yet reserved to state-level decision-makers the ability to ensure responsible action at the local level." Let me repeat that. Reserved to the state the ability to ensure responsible action at the local level. Essentially, the Areas and Activities of State Interest Act, or 1041, introduced a layer of state oversight to certain local planning and development decisions, those of, quote, state interest, end quote, that had not previously existed. At the same time, this act, 1041, granted to local governments express control of the impacts of development and was, quote, "a distinct shift from the traditional zoning methods by which local governments exercised their police authority over land development. Control at the state level was exercised through the Land Use Commission and a few other state agencies, and at the local level, through the delegated authority to local governments to designate matters of state interest, adopt development guidelines, and issue permits. However, state-level control or oversight would disappear over the years as the Land Use Commission's role and responsibilities were amended and minimized, ultimately leading to its demise. So now, there is no state control over any land use planning that counties or other local agencies want to make using 1041 powers. This is not what the state intended. That needs to be corrected with a new law at the state level to make sure that decisions that a county may make using 1041 permitting powers may not be contrary to what is good for the state as a whole. Larimer County, Boulder County, and Eagle County have used 1041 permits to hold hostage long-planned water projects needed by communities along the Front Range. Larimer County's denial of Thornton wanting to build a water pipeline to access water it legally bought 40 years ago is the most egregious example of the abuse of 1041 powers. If left unchecked, there will not only be no more reservoirs, but no more pipelines built to serve our citizens. Back to my list of the five things I would do. Number three, pass a law to allow farmers to sell their saved water. We haven't talked much about this, but farmers truly want to save water. They know Colorado is in a dire situation, and they want to help as much as possible. But any savings cannot be counterproductive for them. The law encourages use it or lose it. This needs to change. Farmers want to grow crops as efficiently as possible. Changing to sprinkler irrigation or drip irrigation costs a lot of money. According to our previous interviewee, crops seem to do better with the right amount of water and air in the soil. Flood irrigation drowns out or forces out any air in the soil. Roots need air, at least according to the interviewee. Who would have known? Like I said, I don't know everything. In fact, I know very little about farming, and I won't counter arguments. Let me know what I don't know. Okay, number four, Two Forks Reservoir. Resurrect it. Some of you may not be old enough to remember that Two Forks was denied a permit for construction in 1990. Two Forks would have held about 1 million acre-feet of water and would have had a firm annual yield of 100,000 acre-feet of high-quality water. Two Forks is the last great reservoir site in Colorado. It is on the Platte, about 40 miles southwest of Denver. Of course, that's upstream of Denver. The basis for the denial was the availability of less damaging, practicable alternatives and adverse environmental impacts. Things change over time. I'm sure EPA did a cost-benefit ratio. At that time, EPA felt Denver and the suburbs could do a lot of other things to increase water supply. And they have. But now water is even tighter. The cost-benefit ratio surely has changed during the past 30 plus years. 100,000 acre feet could save about 100,000 acres of farmland from being dry. It will prevent other reservoirs from being built. And there are hundreds of miles of pipelines being planned to pump water from far downstream Platte River back up to the metro area. These pipelines could be saved too. Every action has consequences. I just think the consequences of creating another beautiful high mountain reservoir with many more recreational opportunities than presently exist in this part of the state would outweigh the adverse environmental impacts. Okay, number five, the last of the ones that I've thought about to date. Create a special zone in which buy and dry is encouraged. As it now stands, developers, cities, and investors are buying agricultural land pretty much wherever they can find it. Basically, it's grab the water now and later figure out how to move it to areas of need. This creates the need for hundreds of miles of pipeline and lots of wasted energy to move that water back upstream to cities. I am suggesting that the state study several watersheds and select the one that has A, fairly senior water rights, B, a lot of diversions, and C, located near the growth area of Colorado. There are several watersheds that could be studied, such as the St. Vrain, the Big Thompson, and others. The state could encourage buy and dry in this area by providing incentives in this special zone, such as tax breaks and possibly helping farmers move to other farming areas. Farmers in the special zone would not be hurt. They would not have to sell, but once the zone was created, water prices would skyrocket in that zone, giving even more incentive for farmers to sell. The state could research the best place to farm such a zone, considering impacts to economies, both local and the economies of the receiving area, return flows, regrowth or conversion to park areas, etc. The state has plenty of resources to determine where would be the best place. Wouldn't it be better to have a plan rather than just let farms be bought up and taken out of production on a random basis? We will continue to hear the refrain, "What are we going to eat?" from farmers. Yep, I like to eat every day. We seem to eat a lot of chicken. I think most of our chicken is imported. I know all our winter vegetables are imported. Our food comes from around the world. I just think we should start looking at where water is more available and what foods can be raised where there is not a scarcity of water. Again, we are only talking about reducing our locally grown food production by 10% to give us plenty of water to grow the other, and in my mind, more important parts of our economy. But everyone has their own opinions and ideas. These are the only ideas I have developed to date. I think the first two are the most meritorious. As I meet with other more knowledgeable people than me, I will continue to probe what they think should be done. But I do know that no one person has all the answers. Sure, Mr. Brown may know a lot about his special area, and Miss Jones may have been thinking in another direction, but I will eventually get to both and hopefully many more. I will invite them, along with you, to go sit by my favorite mountain stream, and we'll discuss all these issues. Looking forward to it. Again, send me your thoughts. See you next time.